Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week we're talking about shopping. Does it matter where you shop? Does it matter where your food comes from? My guest is the general manager of the Astoria Co-op, Matt Stanley. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I've never interviewed you before, so this will be fun.
Yeah.
So you've been the manager of the co-op for...
A little over 6 years now.
I was going to guess six. So that's, yeah. And during those 6 years, the co-op has had tremendous growth.
It has. We really have grown quite a lot. I think 6 years ago, we're doing about 800,000 in annual sales. And now we're doing, you know, this year we'll be around 2.5 million. So we've grown a lot. Our membership base has grown a lot. And it's been just great seeing the support we've gotten from the local community.
Okay, so the co-op used to be just a place to shop. I mean, not that there was anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then in early 2000,
mm-hmm.
there was a change in structure to make it a real co-op. And what's the difference?
Good question. So yes, in 2004, we incorporated officially as a consumer cooperative. Before that, it was a member-based organization, but you weren't making an investment in the store like you do now. So now you do actually buy a share in the store. It's a refundable share, and you get the same rights and privileges of ownership as everyone else who has purchased a share.
Okay. And some of those rights are discounts, at special prices at events, things like that, right?
Yeah. So you have some benefits that are financial, and then you have benefits that involve the intangible aspects of being an owner of a co-op. So on the financial side, we're actually moving towards doing patronage dividends. So instead of doing as many discounts, we're looking more at generating some cash and then being able to take that in a good year and divvy a portion of it back out to the owners. That is something that we're working towards. We're hoping to be able to do it in the next couple years here. And then on the intangible side, you become an owner of a democratically run organization. So I'm the general manager, but I'm hired by a board of directors to run the day-to-day operations. The board of directors, in turn, is elected by the consumer owners to make the bigger picture decisions for the store. And so, you know, we are able to hear from our ownership. Anyone can show up to a board meeting and give input. We've had owner forums and surveys this year related to our new logo that we're designing. So there's a different aspect to ownership besides those financial benefits. And I think that's really what is giving co-ops meaning right now in when we talk about local economies and shopping local. There is no single proprietor who is taking home the net earnings of the business. It gets reinvested back into the business or redistributed back to the owners, is what we hope to do in the near future.
And there, another benefit that I could see, I don't know if it's tangible or intangible, but it is that the owners have a say in what the store offers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, is it no GMO?
Mm-hmm.
Is the labeling more than is required by law?
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, is the focus on local as much as possible? You know, there's all those kinds of decisions which people more and more care about,
mm-hmm.
are made in the store.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
when you stop at a big box store, the shopper certainly has no control over what's on the shelf. And many shoppers could tell you it's very frustrating. They come back, the thing isn't there,
mm-hmm.
or it's in another part of the store.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed the brand. The brand they like is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when they ask about it, they go, well, whatever.
Right.
They don't care if you shop there or somewhere else.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to one of the benefits of shopping locally in general, is that the ability to directly communicate with the people who make decisions about that stuff so that you can get direct answers about why isn't this product on the shelf anymore. Because we do experience the same thing. A manufacturer stops making it or they change the packaging. But I think it's easier to get some answers at the co-op. And usually our staff is very informed about those things, and we're able to hopefully come up with solutions on an individual basis.
I think that's really important. And I think part of the reason that the co-op and co-ops in general have really blossomed over the last 20 years is people care.
Yeah. Well, co-ops, it's really interesting. Co-ops are kind of at this point in their evolution where they are now in a really competitive environment. You know, natural foods and organic foods has pretty much gone mainstream. And so co-ops are having to really look hard, and our co-op is doing this right now, you know, really looking hard on how are we going to remain relevant in this really competitive environment. And so an area where we tend to excel includes those fresh foods departments, you know, fresh produce, our deli items where we use all organic ingredients. And then we're actually going to be exploring carrying some fresh meat here in about a month from when this airs. And we're really excited about that because we're going to have fresh beef from local vendors, and we're going to have organic fresh chicken at the co-op. It's something, one of those, you know, instances where we've heard from our owners that fresh meat was one of the things that would make the co-op, you know, an improved one-stop shop if you were looking to get something for dinner. Because a lot of us shop now on, I know you come in the co-op, you know, several times a week. I'm shopping
sometimes
for dinner
more
every
than
day.
Once a day.
Right. You know, and I think that is a trend with shoppers, especially in the co-op world, where you want to have ingredients that are really fresh for that meal that's coming up. We're not loading up our refrigerators with food for a whole week. That's a good way to eliminate waste as well. So, yeah.
Well, I think another aspect of where the co-op can outcompete a grocery store is in the local. You know, yeah, everybody might have fresh lettuce, but, or, you know, right? Green lettuce. But, you know, is it from Florida? Is it from California? Or is it from Nacelle?
Right. So it would be pretty rare for a larger platform to, you know, be dealing directly with small farmers. You know, co-ops tend to put a lot of time and effort into all the relationships we build with the many small vendors that we do work with. And that's what makes us unique, and that's what makes shopping there a little bit different, especially if you were coming in there for the first time and seeing logos and brands and companies, you know, in Oregon that you maybe haven't seen before. But it makes us exciting and different. And we're always seeking those things out that are supporting businesses either in Oregon, or a lot of them are in Portland and Eugene. And then there are even some in Astoria. And a great example there would be with this new meat endeavor. We're going to be working with Bornstein Seafood. And we're going to be picking seafood up right from the dock and bringing it to the co-op, and having it be a part of this fresh meat case that we're installing in May. So really, and that's just another example of taking that extra step to get stuff that's high quality and as fresh as possible.
That sounds great. That sounds great. You know, and going back to the produce end of things, the politics of farming is very complicated, but the co-op is an opportunity to support local farmers without your having to actually have a relationship with the farmer. Although you may know the farmer.
You may, yeah. Especially if you also frequent the farmers markets in town or around the county.
Right.
But you know, in the larger picture, you're right. It is a really, the food industry is very political, and it's very complicated, but it also is a really good example of a case that reflects on the larger, you know, global issues that we're dealing with across all industries. So, you know, the food industry, this show is To Your Health. There's the industrial food movement is arguably not very healthy for individuals, nor for our local economies. So,
or for the planet.
I
mean, it's not good for the dirt. for the species that live there. I mean, the whole way that food is produced is awful.
Yes. So there's a there's an author that I like. His name is Raj Patel, and he has a couple books out there. But he likes to emphasize, you know, a couple main points about, you know, shopping local, and also thinking about, you know, the what is the true cost of the things that we're there, that we're buying. And so I'm sure some listeners have heard of true cost economics, or this idea of hitting costs or externalities associated with things that price based are very cheap, but that the costs are not assumed by the person producing them, and they get externalized to either society or governments. And he uses a really cool example of the true cost of a Big Mac, which I think probably costs $2 or $3. And he kind of spells out how in reality the Big Mac for the cost to society is closer to $200.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he's looking at, you know, the cost of clear cutting to raise cattle at such a large scale. He looks at the labor industry associated with fast food, and how, you know, the low wages are subsidized by, you know, government programs to make those people be able to survive.
Like food stamps.
Yeah. Then the healthcare costs associated with society eating that food. And he kind of comes up with this number that he, I think he even says it's on the lower end most likely. So,
oh man. Know, and so if you take that, just that one example, and take it to the whole food network, it's pretty scary. I mean, you nobody should wonder why we're so ill.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's take a break. Okay. When we come back, we'll talk more, and there are some great upcoming events to talk about. We're back. You're listening to To Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with the general manager of the Astoria Co-op, Matt Stanley, and we're talking about shopping. Does it matter where we shop? And I guess both of us are advocating that it does matter where you shop. It makes a difference, not just for your own food intake, your own health, but for the whole planet.
And I think it's worth mentioning that I wouldn't expect someone, and personally I wouldn't expect someone to shop local at all costs. You know, I think there's still a responsibility of local businesses and producers to, you know, be doing a good job, good customer service, having a selection of product that is what is in demand, being willing to invest in the business. So certainly, you know, there's probably examples of where local is not the best option, and the hope would be that maybe there will be someday. And that's, you know, for the co-op, we're just in a process of continual improvement. You know, we have our responsibility to our group of consumer owners to offer the best possible service in a sustainable way. So whether that means financial sustainability, environmental sustainability, it's kind of an all-encompassing prospect for us. But I think that's worth just mentioning when we talk about shopping local, and making sure that we're not being too radical with that, you know, demand that people do that, because there are cases where it's there, you know, at least there locally, there's not.
Well,
options.
Okay. I mean, I can think two examples came to mind right away. Olive oil, or pretty much any oil. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get it from an Oregon source or even a regional source. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not warm enough currently to grow olives. And there are people experimenting with growing olives in Oregon. But it's not on a scale to produce. I mean, you need a lot of plants, a lot of trees to produce olives.
And there is the co-op, you know, there is a California olive oil that's available. But again, you know, those things often tend to be more expensive. I mean, I always have to explain to classes when we tour the co-op or go to classrooms to talk with kids, you know, what is one of the major barriers to shopping locally and eating, you know, organic foods? And price is a big one. And, you know, again, it goes back to that food industry and why, you know, a 2-liter bottle of soda is so much cheaper than a head of broccoli. You know, it's unfortunate that that's where we're at right now, but it's...
The soda pop is heavily subsidized by the federal government.
Right.
And the local broccoli grower gets not a dime in subsidies. And there's the crazy. We need to be eliminating the soda pop and adding more of, you know, fresh produce. So if we want to improve our health as a society, we need to get our political will together to force funding of local food production and defund the things that are killing us. I mean, something like 50% of Japanese citizens in Japan are obese. And the percent in China is about 60%.
Wow.
Before they got our food products, or they're not even food products, whatever it is, processed food substances, food-like things, their incidence of obesity were, you know, under 10% in both of those countries. And thanks to us, they can have all the diseases we have, which they didn't have before.
I think, again, that's one of the, that's another cost. It's a future cost that even as individuals, we might bear if we decide not to invest in our health now. You know, it's that pay now or pay later mentality. And I think there is some truth to that. I read somewhere that I think it's if you repeat a healthy habit for 3 years, it's as if you had done it your whole life. I mean, your body has an amazing ability to repair and adapt. And so it's, you know, it's, it, I just find that very reassuring that for anyone, it's not too late to change some of those habits and look at the kind of the selfish side of what shopping local means. I mean, it means you're going to get really fresh foods,
more stuff, vitamins, more enzymes, more alive. It's going to nourish you better.
Absolutely. So it can be a win-win. And I think the growing food movement is a testament to that.
You when you were just talking, it reminded me of the recent awareness that I had of all the wonderful cardiac rehab equipment and rehab facility we have. All these people in there, they're all overweight, they've all had heart surgery, they're all incredibly unhealthy. And you go to a gym and their brothers and sisters aren't there, you know, and it's the same thing. No eating, no exercising. It's like, okay, if exercising is good for you after you've had a heart attack or a stroke or and after you've had some kind of a procedure to fix something, wouldn't it have been a good idea to do it before? It's like, how, why is there so much disconnect in our society between, you know, what the way we live and the problems we develop?
That's a very tough question. That's a tough question to answer, I think. But, you know, again, I think the fact that organic food is growing and, you know, almost every household buys some organic food at this point does demonstrate that people are increasingly looking for healthier options. And, you know, we can only hope that that is a trend that is going to continue to take off.
So what do you think is the quality of organic that one can buy in a big grocery store? Is it older? Is it less verified? You know what? I don't know how to tell. I mean, I feel better about it because it has that label, which gives it national standards. But is it last year's? Is it it been gassed and that kind of?
If it's not directly from a local farmer and it's a certified organic product, it is going through the same certification process that any organic farmer that the co-op would source from. We work with a really great produce distributor called Organically Grown Company, and they're based in Portland and Eugene, and they just do a phenomenal job of sourcing from the state of Oregon or the state of Washington whenever possible. So just about this time of year, we start to see more and more of the word Oregon and Washington on our signs in the produce department, which we love that. And then we love it even more when in about another month or two, although we already are starting to get some farmer deliveries of greens, we start to see the actual farm names that we recognize from our neighborhood. But as far as, you know, the difference in the product, I think a lot of it's going to come down to how much care was put into handling the produce. The bottom line is if you want to eat apples right now in mid-April, you are either eating apples from very far away, and you're going to probably pay for that. They're pretty expensive. because of the travel involved, or you're eating apples that have been in cold storage in an oxygen depleted environment for a long time. I think all apples now are all coming from international sources. So,
well, the co-op right now has tons of apples.
I wouldn't say we have tons. It's a weird time for fruit where there's nothing super in season. So like strawberries from California should be coming on pretty strong if the drought doesn't affect them too much. I don't know where those stand. You know, citrus is at this weird ending of its season, but there's still some really good citrus. What is left is still really tasty. But apples, what we do have, my guess would be that they're from far away. They could be very good. If you're trying to eat seasonally, apples are going to be a fall thing, and we'll be able to have, you know, better prices
seasonally.
And fresher fruit.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Sure.
Some people really try to be seasonal,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a lot of foods disappear for a lot of the year.
It does, yeah. And you know, I think for people who are very dedicated to it, they maybe wonder, why does the co-op have bell peppers in January or cucumbers from Mexico? And you know, again, it kind of comes down to the co-op's relevance and in being able to be a grocery store that serves the broadest needs of our owners. And where we're at right now with our owners is that cucumbers are something people want. You know, that's something that we're used to having as a part of our diet. And I think if cucumbers didn't sell, then we would stop selling them. But it is possible to eat seasonally, and the co-op does facilitate that. So, you know, the winter, this is kind of a pretty weird time, or actually the worst time was probably like a month ago where stuff not readily available. So but root vegetables were still around, sunchokes, there were some greens, potatoes were still coming from Stewardship Farm. So there's always options, and you have to be able to get creative with what's there to be able to have recipes that are fun, and you know, you don't get too tired of the same old thing. But right now we have, I think there's spring, you know, turnips, the little turnips and the greens are super tender.
Yeah.
I think I decided the other day it's my favorite vegetable. They're just incredible. They're so juicy, and you just saute them up and they're just incredibly good. And that's a great thing right now that's, you know, in season. It's these little baby turnips, and you know, so that's something I'll buy a lot of while they're there, because they don't tend to stay around that much either, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they're so delicious, they fly off the shelf. And on the gardening side of it, they are very quick. Mm-hmm. I think they take a month and a half from the seed to being able to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing, I don't know if you guys are carrying those particular seeds, but I need to get some.
I think we probably have some turnip seeds on.
Yeah, but not big ones. Those little sweet
the little
ones.
Kind of spring baby ones. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question.
That would be an awesome and easy to grow grape kid project.
Yep.
And that would be a way to get kids to eat turnips, because they're not those big, tough things that people think, God, what do I do with this?
Right, right.
Yeah. So there's some cool event, or maybe it's not a cool event. There's a annual meeting, which actually is a cool event.
Yeah, and this year it's going to be pretty exciting. It is a meeting of owners, so you have to be an owner in, you know, good standing with the co-op. But it's open to all of them to come learn about how the business is performing. And then this year we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. So
wow.
The co-op opened its first storefront in 1974, I believe, around this time of the year. I think in May it opened its first storefront on Marine. So we'll be celebrating that. One of our staff members has done a short documentary of the story of the co-op. We've accessed old photos and compiled those into this documentary. We've done interviews with people who were around back then and people who are working at the co-op now and involved with the co-op. And then we're also going to be unveiling a new logo at the annual meeting. So that's happening. And
wait, before you go on,
sure.
When is it and where is it?
Good question. So May 4th, it's a Sunday. It'll be 1 p.m. at the Lavelle Showroom in the Fort George campus.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's going to be food, right?
Yes, and food is served to the owners. It's part of the kind of the celebration and this
meeting. And you probably want an RSVP.
No, we will be sending out reminder postcards. Okay. But when folks are listening to this, they will already have received those. And they just get to show up and listen and share ideas that they have, and then have some fun. There'll be some live music as well towards the end of the meeting.
How fun.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I've enjoyed membership meetings over the years. It is amazing to see. I've been on the board twice.
Nice.
Once in the early 80s.
Wow.
And then once in around the 2000s.
So where was the storefront in the early 80s?
It was on Marine.
It was
next
still on
to
Marine.
The theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
And I did the taxes 2 years. And I think that one of the years, the gross income was under $200,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was $185,000.
Yeah.
And there were hardly any expenses.
Yeah.
There were hardly any employees.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there's a co-op now in a similar situation in Vancouver. It's, a startup co-op, and they're probably at about that level of sales and, trying to kind of get their feet under them and build up a group of owners. And, it's interesting thinking about how far our organization has gone and how much potential our organization has. You know, we think that, we can continue to grow the amount of services that we offer to our owners and then in turn grow the impact that we have on our community. So we're doing more and more cool stuff that's outside of just selling food. And mm-hmm. the more food we sell, the more that we're going to be able to invest in those mm-hmm. other activities.
Why don't you just give a list of some of those other great activities?
Sure. So doing the Beers to Your Health lecture series at the Fort George every second Thursday of the month. We've done that throughout the last season of that lecture series. Our cooking classes, we'll have just completed our second farm to fork event with a local chef teaching people how to work with local ingredients, and that occurs in collaboration with Columbia Memorial Hospital. So it's a very cool event that we put on together and use their kitchen over at the Coho room. And, being able to send either myself or one of the staff members to work with classrooms, we've done that a ton, and the more we're able to focus on that type of stuff, the more that can develop. But I have tons of fun going to chat with kids about why it's important to eat healthy and how that applies to their daily life and to their future. And we have fun giving out handouts and stuff like that.
And some food,
yeah. We always feed them, at least give them a taste of something maybe they haven't had before. They don't always like it. Last time I brought a kale salad to some fifth graders, I believe, and there were some plates with kale salad still left on it. but, they got to try it. Some people loved it, and some kids, just that wasn't their thing yet.
There's lots of adults that's not their thing.
Right, exactly.
So, that's going to be, that they were even willing at fifth grade to try it is pretty cool.
Exactly, yeah, to have that experience. I wouldn't have known what any of the foods were. I think I gave them quinoa and kale and something else, and in fifth grade, I would not have known what any of that is.
Ditto.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time.
All right.
It's been great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. My guest has been Matt Stanley. He's the general manager of the Astoria Co-op. And you can reach him by...
You can reach me by email, matt@astoria.coop.
Okay. And the co-op is on
14th
and
Exchange. Yep.
And the phone number of the co-op is 503-325-0027. And this has been To Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine. See you next time.